sound of the airplane hitting one of the Twin Towers almost 11 years ago. And it's almost like yesterday. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, and a lot of people ask me this, and they say one of two things. They say, I just can't believe the American government would do that to its own people. Or, has that ever happened before?
And the answer, unfortunately, is very definitely yes. What is now becoming very clear to historians and researchers who have really been paying attention and gathering all the information is that Pearl Harbor was not the sneak attack that we were told it was. That Roosevelt, his chief of staff, George Marshall, handful of others in Washington knew that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked. They knew when, and they allowed it to happen. Because you have to understand, Roosevelt got elected to an unprecedented fourth term in office. They changed the law right after that, on the pledge that he would keep us out of war. And yet, by 1941, mid-1941, I think it was obvious that we probably were going to end up getting in the war. I think he knew that. I think he, so he had a dilemma. If he had simply said, we have to go to war, there would have been a considerable division in this country. The polls were showing 80-90% of the public said, we don't want to be involved in this. And so they needed an event, a provocation, to get a united and angered American public into the war. So when they learned that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked, Japanese decoding machines were sent to every base in the Pacific except Pearl Harbor. The aircraft carriers that they needed to fight a Pacific war were suddenly out of Pearl Harbor. And on Sunday, of course, December the 7th, Pearl Harbor was attacked. 3,000 Americans were killed. The next day, we declared war, and we went into World War II. So, yes, it can happen. In fact, here's a little piece of irony. With the next day, Congress created a committee to investigate and find out what had happened at Pearl Harbor. And they decided on these scapegoats, Admiral Kimmel and General Short, and said they were just derelict in duty. They were just, a failure of intelligence. And the same things we hear following 9/11. You know, it was just a screw-up. And Admiral Kimmel and General Short fought for years against this verdict. And then after they passed away, their families continued the fight. In the summer of 2001, it was getting very close to the point to where the Bush White House was going to issue a public apology and announce that, yes, that's true, that they really had not been derelict in their duty and that there were other things involved in Pearl Harbor. But then 9/11 came and the decision was made that they would not do this and not make this public because, in the words of one Washington reporter, it might draw attention and might cause people to compare the complicity of the government in Pearl Harbor with 9/11. Isn't that ironic? And then we also know that now about Operation Northwoods.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay. In 1961, of course, there was the failed Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, which originally we told the world we had nothing to do with. Adlai Stevenson got up in the United States.
At the UN.
And he said, no, this is not us. We're not doing this. But that story quickly broke down. And, of course, it turned out that we really were. We had armed, trained, backed, supported the Cuban brigade. And, of course, it met disaster at the Bay of Pigs. They were taken into captivity. And this is an interesting point here. President Kennedy, and I can clearly remember this, went on national television, and he said, this happened on my watch, and I will take full responsibility, and basically offered an apology. I'm sorry this happened, and I'll take the responsibility. He did not have to do that, because what is clear from the record is that he was not even aware of the Bay of Pigs invasion until after his election. And he was finally briefed in early December of 1960 and told, by the way, we've got this invasion, plan going on for Cuba. And who was responsible then? The White House political action officer of Eisenhower, Richard M. Nixon.
Damn. Oh, no, Nixon himself.
Yeah, Nixon had authorized the Bay of Pigs invasion. So,
no, see, I didn't know that.
Oh, he took full credit for it in his book, My Three Crises. And so Kennedy legitimately could have said, hey, I'm sorry, but this wasn't my deal. You know, Nixon did this, but he didn't. He sucked it up. He was a man. He said, this happened on my watch. I'll take responsibility. Have we heard anything even remotely like that from President Bush about 9/11?
No. Not at all.
No apologies. No I'm sorrys. No nothing. Okay? So, in the wake of that, Kennedy, needless to say, was upset about the failure of the Bay of Pigs, so he took the secret war against Castro and took it away from the CIA and turned it over to the Pentagon. Now, the Pentagon planners went to work, and they came up with Operation Northwoods. And essentially, this was a plan to target Americans for assassination, hijack airplanes, sink ships on the high sea, set off bombs in American cities, particularly Miami and Atlanta and New Orleans, and blame it all on Castro. Okay, this is what is known as a false flag operation. Okay, now you see one flag waving and you say they did it, but they didn't really do it.
Right.
So now what's really amazing about this, and here is another great piece of irony, is that, and never forget this, the Joint Chiefs of Staff approved Operation Northwoods. They thought that was a good plan, okay? Because this way we'll enrage the American people. They will demand that we invade Cuba. We'll have full support, and we'll get to carry out our military mission. Kennedy was the one who said, wait a minute, we don't play that way. And if we play that way, then we're no better than the people we call our enemies. And he ordered all copies of Northwoods destroyed. But typical government bureaucracy, at least one set, did not get destroyed. It lay around in the government file for years and years and years until the mid-90s when the Assassination Records Review Board, which was created by Congress in the wake of the Oliver Stone movie JFK and tasked to look into government files for anything that might have to do with Kennedy or those years or the assassination. And what do? They find Operation Northwoods. They placed it in the National Archives. And so now it became public. We know what their plans were. And I just find it great irony that it was Kennedy's assassination and the subsequent investigation of the Assassination Records Review Board that revealed to us how our own military would attack their own citizens in a false flag operation to further their own agendas.
You know, it seems that they've been using the same playbook all along, just changing the names of the players.
Right.
And when we've only got about 5 minutes left here on this show, and we've been talking about a lot of general things. You think the same people behind the Kennedy assassination were behind 9/11? I mean, not specifically, but more or less the same groups?
The same groups, the same power bases, yes. And let me wrap up with this. We've all heard Condoleezza Rice and even President Bush basically say, well, how could we have ever thought that they would have hijacked airplanes and flown them into buildings, right? We've all heard that.
Right.
But let me point out that in March of 2001, 6 months before 9/11, on a TV program written by Chris Carter, there was a program aired that had a scenario of rogue government agents within the government piggybacking on war game exercisings, using drone airplanes, were going to crash them into the World Trade Center towers to generate a war on terrorism so that they could generate more profits for the military-industrial complex. And he wrote this 6 months. So if a TV writer can envision this 6 months before 9/11, how can Rice and Bush say, who would have ever thought that? Surely they've got more intelligence and more consultation than a TV writer.
You know, one of the things, and this happens when, especially, you write books now, but when you're a reporter, you write a story, Jim. Sometimes you get reactions from people and leads that you never thought you'd get.
Absolutely, yeah. When you put the story out there and somebody realizes that you know the story, or at least you're getting close to it,
yeah,
then they come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they're
and they say, well, let me tell you.
Yeah, they're
just this past weekend, I had a retired air traffic controller who was working in 2001, and he gave me some really astounding information about how they were able to subvert our normal hijack emergency procedures.
Well, we'll have to stay tuned for that. We'll get into more of that. You know, this whole thing, it's just unraveling, isn't it? Doesn't it appear to you?
I think so. In fact, what I find most astounding and most hopeful is that 6 years after the Kennedy assassination, and I was there, and I was trying to tell people there's something stinks about this, and I was the nut and the conspiracy theorist. And in fact, if you'll remember, Jerry, it was not even considered polite to talk about that in public, you know. And national polls are showing that 50-60% of the population is not buying the official conspiracy theory of the 19 suicidal hijackers.
Just think how smart the American public would be if the media were doing their job.
If the media would do their job, I think all this could be cleared up, because I have unlimited faith and confidence in the goodwill, the good intentions, and the honesty of the average American. The problem is if you're being fed incomplete or erroneous information, I don't care how smart you are, you can't make a correct decision about anything.
Jim Mars, it's a pleasure having you on, and I look forward to working with you very closely on this, and we will be revealing more as we go along about all of these people, just like the man that came forward on how they would... before we go on that air traffic control question, there was obviously something going on, and that was an exercise, right? So there were false blips. So people, we say, well, how could they not know those hijacked planes? Well, they didn't know what planes were what.
Well, they had also made a seemingly small change to the procedures. Prior to the Bush administration, if an air traffic controller wanted to declare a hijack emergency, he could on his own authority, and then immediately contact NORAD and local commanders if they felt this was serious, could launch their own planes. You might recall in 1999 when the golfer Payne Stewart's plane went off course.
They tracked that.
Yeah, 14 minutes, there's jets all around his plane, okay? But under the Bush administration, they began to change the procedures. The air traffic controllers could not take on the authority to declare emergency. They had to contact supervisors. Supervisors had to contact somebody else. And then they couldn't contact NORAD and get a response out of them without going through the Secretary of Defense's office. In other words, you got to get over Rumsfeld before you can send off jet fighters. And, of course, on the morning of 9/11, there's been two or three conflicting stories on exactly where Rumsfeld was and exactly when. So this is what this air traffic controller called the slow track. Okay, so on the morning of 9/11, they had to go through the slow track. And what was really interesting is the next day they scrapped the slow track,
well,
and they went back to the way they'd been doing things.
It's usefulness.
That's right. So in other words, they instituted this, pulled off the attack, and then went back to normal reaction procedures.
You've just had a preview of what we'll be doing with lots of other people talking, and lots of actualities, and lots of in-depth stories coming up. Jim Mars, it's always a pleasure. We'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks for coming by.
Well, and you know, I'm always telling people that your mind is like a parachute. It works better when it's open.
It's hard to believe that in less than a week we will have had this happen 11 years, and still there's no final outcome. As Jim Morris mentioned, over 60% of the people in the U.S., according to polls, do not accept Uncle Sam and the official story. We'll be back next week with more on 9/11. We have some unusual recordings we're going to present next week. You may not have heard them. And some new witnesses, we hope. If you're a witness and you'd like to come forward, contact me at jerry@jerrypippin.com. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Tales of High Strangeness. Jerry Pippin's Parazone. Check out our stories.
of the horrific, the interesting, the spiritual, on the paranormal pages of JerryPippin.com.